listening to Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back. Thanks for staying tuned during the break. Today on the show, we're talking about tree houses.
Tree forts.
We should just change it to tree forts. we decided on tree house, and we've changed it to tree fort at least 20 times.
I know, I can't help it. Because I'm a boy, you know, because I've got that whole military, army, you know, kind of thing going on. I've got daughters, so you'd think that tree house would be where my mind would be, but I still just can't get away from tree fort. I have reverted back to my childhood. This is where I'm at right now. I'm so excited about this tree fort show that I can't stop saying fort.
Tree. So, well, what? We could just call it a tree force.
So we talked a little bit about tree selection, for example, and how important it is to choose the correct tree. We have got an expert on tree selection who's going to be on the phone here. Michael Garnier, we talked, mentioned him a little bit ago in the show. He has got, he's got a tree zort. He calls it a tree zort in Junction City. And he's got an absolutely amazing thing going out there. This guy knows how to select a tree. So let's talk to Michael a little bit about tree houses. How are you doing this morning, Michael?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Fabulous. We've been talking about tree houses here today, and I realize after talking to you and checking out your website that you are likely the authority on tree houses.
Well, one of them, maybe.
Tell us a little bit about your amazing tree zort that you've got in Junction City.
It's in Cave Junction, not Junction City.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cave Junction, yes.
All the way down by the California border, so a little bit further away, but I bought a beautiful place down here, and I've been trying to figure out how to make a living for ever since I got here, like 40 years ago, and this is what I came up with. I love trees, and I love building with wood, and so this fit right in. You know, one of the things is people ask me where I came up with the idea, and I said I tried a lot of things, and this one worked.
That makes perfect sense.
But I have probably the largest concentration of tree houses in the world.
Wow.
So,
how many do you have?
There's like, with platforms and zip lines, there's actual houses. I probably have 12 of them. There's other platforms. I have another. Just in the walkways, there's six or seven of them there. And the zip lines, I got a bunch of platforms. So it's sort of like people come here and they remind them of a mist or
Tarzan.
Stage, so.
Or Tarzan, maybe.
Well, we have a Tarzan swing, too.
Oh, do you? Wow. Yeah, that is absolutely amazing. We were just talking about tree houses and tree selection, for example. I mean, you would know better than anybody. You can't just choose any tree to put a tree house in, right?
Well, it's best not to. I mean, it's best to look for, a tree that lives a long time, for one. Some trees grow up fast and die fast. So if you're going to, spend time and money and putting a tree house in there, you want it to last. So one of the things to do is, well, there's all different kinds of areas, but most areas have a predominant tree that lasts a long time and gets biggest. And those usually are, good for building tree houses. Here in the Northwest, we have Doug fir. It's probably the best tree to build in. And basically, though, you wouldn't want to build in a 400-year-old Doug fir because it's getting close to the end of its, life.
Oh, sure.
But you could build in a 50-year-old Doug fir, and you've got, if you do it right, you shouldn't shorten the life of that tree. And so you've got, a tree house that'll last, I started building tree houses the last 20 years, and they've done that. Now I'm working on having them last 50 years. So.
Wow. Yeah. So when you talk about not compromising the integrity of the tree, I stumbled across something that you and I didn't even talk about, but I stumbled across on Google something about a tree attachment bolt. Tell me about that.
Oh, that's a, I called it an artificial limb, and now it's called a Garnier limb, but after, you know, after my name, last name. So, like I said, when I built my first treehouse, I built it to last 20 years, and it did. But in, you know, after I built it, one of the things I did was most treehouses start off with, you know, kids just nailing boards to trees, all right?
Yeah.
And what would happen then would be they'd either the boards would rot out, the movement of the tree would, you know, tear the boards out of the tree. The tree would grow, push the boards out of the tree, or the tree would grow around the board. And I had noticed that trees here get along with metal real well. So I put a metal bracket on the tree, and then I put my board or my log or my beam on the metal bracket to keep it separated from the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Wood on wood will rot more. So
mm-hmm.
I got the longevity out of that, and I got the strength out of that because the tree started bolster blocking that beam or that piece of channel. But I noticed that it wasn't very intrusive in the beginning, but as the years went on, I saw that the tree started having to grow around that area more and more and more. So it's like how to do a better mouse trap.
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning, the treehouse wasn't very intrusive to the tree, but as time went along, it became more intrusive. Now, in part of me doing this, I mean, I was also running these out, so I ran into requirements for a permit, which normal treehouses don't. I, you know, had to go round and round with the building department. And so in doing that, one of the things is there was no data on attaching to trees. So, you know, I was interested in finding a better mouse trap or a way to measure it. And also I was concerned about the more intrusiveness of the beam or the bracket on the tree. So we started doing conferences, and we started working. I worked with my engineer and some other treehouse builders, and we had a little competition on what would be building the better mouse trap.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened to be that the one that I worked on it seemed the most practical. And what it did was it was a specialized bolt that had a boss on it that dispersed the load that allowed a greater load capacity for this bolt. And then if you have this greater load capacity, then you can move your beam out further away from the tree to allow the tree to have growth.
Right.
So this bolt is it's more intrusive to the tree in the beginning, but over time becomes less intrusive. So with that, that's why I figure I can get 50 years out of a treehouse now.
Wow. I know that if you are attaching something to the tree, like you said, the tree can push it away or can could grow around it and distort that item that's attached to the tree. Plus, it rots more. But it's also, if you're attaching multiple, like in tree forts that I grew up in, we'd put 10 or 20 or 30 nails into that tree in one spot to make sure that it would hold real tight. But the more holes that you put into a tree in one area, the more the tree will try to fix that, and then you can end up with a larger damaged spot on the tree than just one single hole. So
that's one of the things that I do. To me, it's better to do one larger area than a bunch of smaller areas.
Right. Okay, hold on for us, Michael, if you could. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to you a little bit more about your tree-sort. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Week in Warriors. We'll be right back.